Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. Always on Friday, we sit down and talk Texas corn. We're lucky enough to be joined by the executive director of the Texas Corn Producers, Mr. David Gibson. Mr. Gibson, how are you doing today, sir?
Doing well, David.
Yes.
Doing well.
Yes, sir. We were talking about the weather. Of course, that's always at the forefront of a lot of things we do with crop updates, that sort of thing. And you said there was rain around you up there in Swisher County, but none of them dropped through the neighborhood, huh?
Well, in my particular neighborhood and trails, I get reports from, we didn't receive anything. We've seen the clouds. We've felt the wind and seen the dust. That's kind of the way I operate.
Yeah, that's and that's a major thing that we're dealing with. It's apparent. It's been in a cycle like this for a while. Last year at this time, we had plenty of rain, and then July was one of the wettest on season. It just seems like the spigot got turned off after that, and it's been an uphill battle. And talking about that, speaking about that, the USDA has an emergency relief, the new program coming out, the Extended Government Funding and Delivery Emergency Assistance Act. Tell us a little bit about this, and what does a producer have to get into to get this brought to his table?
Okay. Well, David, the USDA just announced this week that the Emergency Relief Program, as you referenced to, this is formerly known as WHIP Plus, and we've had growers talking about that for a while here over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And what that means is there's going to be two phases of this that will come out. The phase one is for those producers that had losses with crops, trees, bushes, and vines due to natural disaster in 2020 and 2021. Mm. This is not covering grass or crops sown solely for livestock grazing. They are not included. If a producer had filed a crop insurance claim or NAP claim and received payments, they're going to qualify for the phase one of the program. This means if they had any of the issues that were named in this program and had claims filed and payments, what they are going to receive by mail from USDA, kind of a pre-filed application form. Mm-hmm. And that's the data on that's going to have been pulled from the crop insurance and NAP data because they'd already received indemnity from it. Producers need to review that closely and make sure that they agree with the numbers, complete it, signed, and turn it back into their local FSA office. They will not be having to go in and make appointments for phase one of this to fill out forms with their FSA office. And, of course, they've got to be up to date on all their other forms, which most of them, if they're in any of the programs, ARC, PLC, they've already taken care of this other paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be prorated out on a 75% factor, and that'll be spelled out in their documentation they receive in the mail. The phase two program, well, first of all, both phase one and two require that growers continue to purchase crop insurance for the next 2 years at least a 60% or higher level. Phase two of the program, as it rolls in, growers, there'll be a date announced to cover losses that were not covered under the phase one. This is for folks that did not have crop insurance or NAP insurance. And they will then be having to go in and fill out the forms and do some work at the FSA office. I just say for growers, if you're not in the phase one program where you've already got the insurance losses filed and stuff and you don't get the copy in the mail, you just got to wait until they make this announcement. The folks in the local offices will not have any details on phase two, or will not have the forms or anything ready to fill out for these programs. On Thursday, I was on a call, and they were stating that just by preliminary numbers, all the funds are going to be basically be used out of this by the time both phases are completed. And it looks like it's going to be a real big program, because we've had, in 20 and 21, we've had droughts, we've had hails, we've had everything. Here in the High Plains, had hurricanes in South Texas. Mm-hmm. Around the country, there's just been multitudes of different disasters that's occurred in the over those 2 years. So they expect every dollar will be that's allocated will be used, and need just cooperation from the producers to get it out and get it out in a judicious manner.
Yeah, get that information out. And we have a link to that, the USDA site with all the information. It's also dealing into emergency livestock relief program, some other commodity issues. If you go to our website, click on that link, it'll show you who's eligible, some of the conditions, and then, of course, the forms that they need. And it says here clearly that if you've been in this program before, the paperwork will be really streamlined. A lot of you will have it already in your files, your paperwork.
Right.
Yeah. But at your local FSA county office, they'll give you everything you need to know. They'll let you know about the payments and the whole nine yards. The ERP factor tables can be found on the fact sheet. And it's all the information that you need. And it affects mainly, you said, Mr. Gibson, the 2020 and 2021 crop growing year, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you mentioned there, outside of the CRP payment, there's a ELAP program. Mm-hmm. Lots of acronyms within the USDA. It's on livestock assistance. Yeah. And over the past couple of years, a lot of growers, or a lot of our livestock producers, have had to either haul in additional hay from outside of their normal area, or ship cattle to other places to go to pasture, which that program is also open now. Mm-hmm. The for the 2021 losses there, the deadline's coming up at the end of June, and there's already announced a 22 program. You know, you can, sitting there, you've heard of the fires and all of the, we know about the drought, and it's just, you know, droughts are very serious because they affect everything on every farm or ranch. Mm-hmm. And we've got some programs in place that USDA is administering. And the key thing is, like I said, you can go to your website, multiple other websites, and growers can read these documents and see where they're at and what it requires to fill out. It's not always simple.
Right.
You have to have kept good records, and that's a key thing. You've got to have your records.
Mm-hmm.
So, David, I just encourage them to look at your website and go on our website. Most of the general commodities have these same type things on theirs and links, and just take advantage, because there are some serious losses out on our farms and ranches going on right now.
Yeah, so. It's been just like you were speaking about earlier, Mr. Gibson, it's just been one of those perfect storms. Everything from the pandemic, of course, the word of 2022 is input cost. Now the weather has been pretty rough the last couple of seasons, and this is a way to help you out, but you have to take advantage of it, and you have to have that paperwork in before the deadlines. That link will be on KGNCNewsNow.com, or you can go to TexasCorn.org. Trade markets are very, very important to all commodities and livestock, and getting into those trade markets and making sure that Texas corn is a global commodity. You guys are addressing this issue. An upcoming trade school, June 14th, down in Belton, Texas, sponsored by U.S. Grains Council, National Corn Growers Association, Texas Corn Producers. Tell us a little bit about this program.
Yeah, this is a program designed to let growers have a chance to get a better understanding of the trade situation, things that impact trade. You know, about one out of every 3 acres of corn in the U.S. is exported. And it's very important for our growers to understand how that works, the restrictions that we deal with tariffs and barriers in other countries, the standards of the grains that we export, just the general laws. A lot of that reverts right back to things that producers do on their farm in order to enhance the quality of their grain as it enters the trade channel. The other things that we'll be talking about there, and this has been big topics, as you mentioned, it's about input costs and fertilizer issues. Ooh. And we've got some folks coming in from National Corn Growers and U.S. Grains Council that's going to talk about what all has impacted that and what will be impacting us potentially going into our next growing season, looking at the tariffs that are potentially been put in place, some of the barriers that other countries have put on exporting some of the fertilizer goods to us here in the U.S. It's a complex situation, and we hope that we can just let growers get a better understanding of those factors, and maybe it'll help them as they look in making plans for the upcoming year as they're hearing about all of these things in the news about tariffs or import quotas, export quotas, et cetera, and help them understand and maybe a little bit broader knowledge of figuring out ahead of time some moves they might want to make on their farm. So that's one of the components. And then just in general, it's very important for us in Texas, for our growers to understand we export most of our corn and value added. It leaves us beef, pork, poultry, dairy products, etc. But all of the corn that's exported raw out of the Midwest helps impact our local corn prices. Mm-hmm. It's very important that we have those foreign markets pulling on the corn that comes down the Rio Grande and moves out into the world in order to make sure that our local corn prices can be maintained, our local positive basis can be maintained for our local growers. And that's how exports really impact our local growers. So that's a key thing. We hope producers that want to learn about this, I know Belton's not just down the street a little bit, but Texas, you know, people travel a lot real fast.
Yeah.
And it'd be just a good education for growers that are interested, want to look and see, learn more about these factors that really impacts us in a lot of ways, whether it's on things that we import, like some of our fertilizers, or on the corn and sorghum we export, and how that impacts us back locally here in Texas.
Yeah, and that's really one of the major components of Texas corn is the benefits of trade for U.S. grains, where you guys want to be positioned in the market, where trade stands at today. You're right, Mr. Gibson, that Ukraine and Russia has really affected the cost of fertilizer and the potential future moving forward. And deploying and developing a message on trade, what kind of path do we seek? Every day you guys try to find new markets to enter your product into around the world. It's not just down the street. It's just not in the state over. Texas corn is all over the world, and it plays a vital role.
That's correct. You know, we send some raw corn out of South Texas into Mexico, but in general, corn is a lot of raw corn is shipped, like I stated, around the world, and a lot of it is sent out and value-added as the products that everybody sees as they drive up and down the highways out amongst our dairies and feedlots.
So
exports are extremely important in the corn market as we see it here on the High Plains or anywhere in the state.
Hotel arrangements, information can be found on our website, on Texas Corn's website. It'll be Tuesday, June 14th in Belton, Texas at the Bell County Expo Center. It's from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. The cost is free. The conference of the trade school is free. You can make hotel arrangements, and there's all the information you need to go down there. And it's very, very important to continue to work on both ends of the stick. You guys, the producers, will take care of getting the product there, and then everybody else will help you get it around the world, because we're a global market, and Texas Corn shows up quite well on that market. Mr. Gibson, as always, it's a great pleasure to hang out and talk with you guys, and have a safe week, and you know, hopefully next week we can talk about having to get around in your field in a bass boat with a little rain falling down, huh?
Well, they're showing us some possibilities, yeah. So we're hoping they come true.
All right.
And but it's certainly time, and thank you, David, for giving us time to visit this morning.
Each and every week, David Gibson and Texas Corn show up here at the KGNC to tell you what's going on, and we're always appreciative of it. Mr. Gibson, have a safe weekend, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Thank you, David.
Be sure to tune in bright and early tomorrow morning for the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Weekend. Be safe. We'll see you bright and early Monday morning.